Good morning, everybody. Woo, are you happy? I tell you what a conference we had. Oh my goodness, the Lord moved in the most wonderful way. And we're going to see Him move. He always moves. Where the presence of the Lord is, He meets every need. Amen. He's here to minister life to you and blessing to you because He's a good God. And we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. We will see it. I personally want to thank all the women that worked so hard for the conference. I hosted many conferences in my life. And the last one I hosted, there was 4,000 ladies there. But I want to say to you, it takes a team to do it. It's not just one person. It takes a group of people working together, loving each other and serving the Lord. Amen. So I personally want to thank all the ladies, but I want to thank the men. Thank you guys. We want to give you a thank you today. Want to say thank you for serving the Lord. You know, there is such blessing in serving and giving of yourself to God. He will always return that blessing back to you. Amen. And so it's a great honor for me to be here this morning. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Pastor Walker and Haley for inviting me. I've known them for many years. And the last time I was here in Lusaka, I ministered for another church and we drove past this building and I shared it with the ladies yesterday, but we drove past this building and I said to her, Giselle, I said, whose church is that? She said, oh, that's Miracle Life Center, Pastor Walker and Haley. I said, oh, are they Ray McGrath's? I think I'd met them then. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. And then I said, Lord, one day I'd like to really minister in that church. And I've had endurance to get here, but I'm here. Hallelujah. And the Lord is so good. And we are family. We're a family. And it doesn't matter where you come from. When you know the Lord, we're brothers and sisters. And I'm right at home here. And you better be careful because I just might move here. You have to find me a tall, dark, good-looking, handsome man. No. I'm kidding. Well, you never know, you know. You never know what God has up His sleeve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we had incredible word this week. You know, the word is what ministers to us. The word is alive, full of power, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the more time we spend in the word, the stronger our faith becomes, the bolder we become, the stronger we become, the more peace we have, the more joy we have, the more wisdom we have. Amen. So we must spend as much time as we can in the word. Get to every service, never miss church. And for those of you who came down yesterday to go to Rhema Bible Training Center next year, let me tell you, I'm in such agreement with that. You get in the Word. You spend that year in the Word or 2 years and you grow in God. And the devil will never be able to hinder you again. Amen. I'm a Rhema Bible Training Center graduate from 1979. I'm so young, it's ridiculous. But it was the best year of my life. So I would say to you, how many of you here that weren't here yesterday want to go to Rhema Bible Training Center? Put up your hands. You weren't here yesterday, but you want to go. Put your hands up high. Wave your hands. There's a lot of you. I'm in agreement with you that next year you'll be here. The Lord will provide what you need because He wants you in His Word. Amen. I believe you'll be here next year. So this morning I want to talk to you about my now purpose. My now purpose. I don't know if any of you have been feeling stuck after this whole COVID story. You know, we were on a move and then all of a sudden everything got shut down. The devil wants to shut us down. You know that. Because he knows when we're in motion with God, boy, oh boy, we are going to do things for the Lord. Amen. So he likes to shut us down. And this last one was the biggest one I've ever seen. But I'm sure in the future things will come our way. But we're strong in God and we're not moved. Amen. And we're going to continue to flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. And so I wanted to talk to you about my now purpose. What should we be doing now in our purpose? Some of you, you have a purpose set before you and you're preparing for that. There's always preparation for your future. The more you prepare, the better you are prepared for your future. That's why we say go to Bible school. If you're called to business, you need to go to business school. You need to learn about business. Amen. Do the courses. Do the leadership things. Do whatever training you can do to be fruitful in what God is calling you to. And you will know He's calling it to you to a certain area because it's down here and it doesn't go away. My daughter wanted to be a lawyer. And Kristen, she's 28 years old now, big girl. I'm not married. Hallelujah. Rabba Shule Bandelabundi. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll bring her to Zambia. Who knows? Because your men are gentlemen. They're such gentlemen. Guys, you are lovely. You're so nice. Yes, you are. You're well-mannered. You're kind. You're gentlemen. You're tough. You're bold. We are bold. Hallelujah. Men, be men. Be men. We want you to be men. But we want you to be men who love the Lord. Now, why did I go there? Hallelujah. I don't know. God's speaking to someone here today. So my daughter, she wanted to do law. And she landed up at University of Cape Town. And her family, outside, other side of the family, talked her out of it and said to her, oh, you know, you're not strong enough. You're not this, you're not that. She got 5 distinctions at college, at school. 5 distinctions, a clever girl. So she went to university, UCT, and she did political science. And after that degree, she says, Mom, I still want to do law. I don't know what it is, but I want to do law. I said, Chrissy, that's what God put in you. You let the devil talk you out of it to do political science, although that's still useful. Amen. But I said to her, go and do it. It's in you. It's in you. You're going to know down here what your purpose is. And you have lots of purposes in life. You know, purpose to get married. I'm not looking anywhere. Purpose to have children. Purpose to start a business. Later on, do this, buy a house. You have many purposes, but there's one calling that God puts you in. And that will be birthed in you. And until you do it, you will never be happy. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. Because God put it in there. It's your divine ordered calling. Amen. Some of you are still trying to find out what that is. How many of you are still trying to find out what that is? Put your hands up. Don't be concerned. Keep your hand on the plow. Keep doing what you're doing. It will open up to you. God's not confused. He made you. He'll order your steps to your purpose. Many times, your passion is your purpose. What you're passionate about is actually your purpose. I heard Dr. Murdoch say this and it really blessed me. He's a very intelligent man. And he said this and it really encouraged my heart. He said, you might be called to something you love the most. But you might be called to something you hate the most. Abortion, child trafficking. It's something you hate, but you're called to be a solution to bring order and bring deliverance. Amen? So your calling is your passion. What are you very, very on fire about on the inside? Is it ministry? Is it serving? What is it? It will be your purpose for now, which will move you to later on. Things change. I mean, I was a pastor for 24 years, and then God just put me into the ministry, traveling and ministering in churches and preaching. I never thought I'd be doing this, but here I am, and I'm still in the purpose. And who knows what God has for me down the road, but it's still purpose, and it's still my passion. Amen. So what should we be doing now? It's so important. I always look at Isaiah 55 verse 9, because for me this scripture is so powerful, and it tells me what I really need to know. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways, says God. Amen. The important thing here is God always wants to move you higher. The more you come up higher, the more you begin to think like God thinks, and do like God thinks, the more blessed you are. Amen? Because He leads you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads you by the still and quiet waters. Amen? Hallelujah. The green pastures. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's plan for your life is awesome. But we need to come up higher. Don't limit God in your life. Don't limit Him. He's a big God. He has big plans for you. Amen. So come up higher. Start thinking more about what God has for you and how God wants to use you in the days going forward. Because God's ways are best. God's ways always work. Say amen. Hallelujah. So what does the word purpose mean? The word purpose means, what is your goal? What is your aim? What is your drive? What is your reason or intention in life? What is your intention with your life? What is your function? What is your role? How is God going to use you? Amen. Purpose. And there's purpose for every single one of us. Amen. Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 10, "For my determined purpose is that I might know Him." Hallelujah. That's my purpose. I keep saying, "Lord, I want to know You more. I want to know You more." Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied. I want to know You more. Paul said, "My determined purpose is that I might know Him." I pray that's your purpose today. You know why? Because He's the only one who can get you where you need to go and be who God wants you to be. So you need to know Him. Once a week in church is not enough. You're not going to know Him. If you only spend one day a week with me, you're going to know me a little bit, right? But if you move in my house and you move into my room, you're going to know Lindy. God wants you to come into the inner chamber so that you will know Him. Amen? Know Him. He says that I might know Him, that I might progressively. So it's an ongoing relationship. Progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person. God is wonderful, people. You will never know anyone that is like Father God. Hallelujah. More strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection. You know, we don't preach enough power in resurrection. Amen. Healing, deliverance, salvation, all those things are in the power of His resurrection, being raised from the dead. Hallelujah. He is alive, everybody. Are you alive this morning? Can you wave at me and say, "I'm alive"? Good. Hallelujah. I need just checking on you. And that I may so share in His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into the likeness even to His death. Now, when we are persecuted for the word's sake, then we suffer. I mean, there are times persecution, people have lost their lives for persecution in some of the communist countries. But it's that I might know Him and that the power and the power of His resurrection. Jesus said in 1 John 3 verse 8, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest." What does manifest mean? The man from the station. Should I tell him the story? So this little, years ago at Rhema, South Africa, one of our pastors' little child came running into the room to his mommy. "Mommy, mommy, I hurt my finger, I hurt my finger." So Gabby said to Peter, she said, "Peter, let's pray and you will receive the manifestation." So she prayed, "Father, in the name of Jesus, pray for Peter's finger that it's healed in Jesus' name." She said, "Now you can go and play." So he went off and played, and he came back about an hour later and he says, "Mommy, when is the man from the station coming? When is the man from the station coming?" You will receive the manifestation. For this purpose, isn't it beautiful? Kids are so beautiful. "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest." The state man from the station arrived, amen. "That He might destroy the works of the devil." So Paul's purpose was that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Jesus was here. His purpose to be here was to destroy the works of the devil. Say amen. And they are destroyed. You don't have to destroy them. Jesus already destroyed them. All you have to do is walk in the victory of the cross. today. Amen. It is finished. It is done. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." We know that Esther was called for such a time as this. I believe we are called for such a time as now. This is our purpose, to be here right now at this time during this season of COVID and whatever. Hallelujah. God appointed us. He called us to be here in Lusaka, in this church, this morning, because it's divine appointment. And you will know that you know that you know that you know what God wants you to do. All you have to say is, "Lord, confirm what I have to do." It will line up with His word. It will never contradict the word of God. Amen. So you can't go pole dancing. Hello. That's not God's purpose for your life. Usually I say to the ladies and they really laugh. The poles would probably bend anyway. So your time is now. And we are actually always in preparation. For whatever God has ahead of us, we are continually in preparation. Because the word prepares us. Amen. And we are always in process. Hallelujah. I tell you, the older I get, the more I know, hallelujah, and the more I know that I know nothing. It's amazing. The more you study the word, the more you think you know, the more you realize you know nothing. Hallelujah. So we are all in process. We are in preparation for what is coming ahead of us. And God shows us and reveals us things in advance. He prepares us in advance. If you are in tune to the Spirit, and remember, the Spirit never drives you. The Spirit of God never drives you. So don't say, "I'm driven." You say, "I'm led." The Spirit of God goes ahead and you follow. You don't go ahead and the Spirit is behind you. He leads. Amen. Say, "He leads." He leads. So we are in process, preparing now for what's ahead. The more that we hunger and thirst from after God, the more preparation we will have. And the more we will be ready for the seasons ahead. So what do we do right now while we are in preparation? And I just have a few little points to share with you. Points that have really been strong in my life. You know, I've heard lots of preaching in my life. I've sat under the greatest ministries in the world. I've sat under Brother Hagin. I stayed in Brother Hagin's house. I've sat under King Jr. I've sat under Copeland. I've sat under the Savells. I've sat under Creflo Dollar. All the ministries that you know now, I've basically sat under. But you know, I've found out the most important thing you need to know are the foundational points. It's the simple word of God that you need to know. You don't need to know all the depth of other things, and it's good to have knowledge. But if you're not doing the basics, you're going to struggle going forward. And I love the basic points. So the first one I'm going to share with you is stay in His presence. While you are in process, while you are in preparation, while you are seeking your where you are going, what God wants to do with you, your purpose. These are the things you need to stay in. Say amen. First one is stay in His presence. Stay vitally united to the vine. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Listen to the word which will build you and edify you and quicken you, correct you. Say amen. We don't like correction, but boy, we need a lot of correction. I pray, "Lord, send me people. If I go off the path, I need to know. And I need to know as fast as possible. Let someone share with me. Let someone tell me. Let me see it in the word. Let me always be teachable." God wants you to have a teachable spirit. Amen. So that He can lead you. Because our flesh, we found out yesterday when I shared with the ladies that inside of every Christian, there is a stupid. I rebuke that, Pastor Lindy. Stupid is your flesh. Your flesh always wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to go where it feels nice. Amen. And sometimes your head gets you in lots of trouble. You see something, you like it, and boo, and the next thing you're in debt. Amen. You owe thousands of rand because you had to have that thing. So often, our soul and our body get us in lots of trouble. But if we will be led by the Spirit and stay vitally united to the vine, we're going to stay in the purpose and the plan of God. Amen. He will keep us in His plan and in His purpose. So when you think about the vine, being vitally united to the vine, we look here in John 15 from 4 to 5. We see how, can you put it up for me? John 14. Is it up there? John 15, sorry. 45. Okay, they did have it. So when you are vitally united to the vine, the sap that you need to bear fruit with comes from the vine. But you are a branch. It says, you are the branches. He is the vine. The fruit doesn't grow on the vine. It grows on the branches. So we are the branches. Say amen. And God wants us to bear much fruit. Well, the more sap that we receive, the sap is what causes the fruit to grow. And it comes from the vine. The more sap we suck in and receive, the more fruit we produce. Now that sap is His presence. That sap is the Word. Amen. That sap is the anointing. That sap is what you need to bear fruit. Hallelujah. So say, I'm a branch. I will bear much fruit. How many of you really have a desire to bear much fruit? In your business, in your life, you have to go after it. You're not going to sit there and just go, well, it'll fall into my lap. It's not going to fall into your lap. You're going to have to go after it. You want to bear fruit? Go for it. Say amen. But you still let the Spirit of God lead you. You don't go ahead of the Spirit. So we have to stay close to God. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we stay at the right hand of God, and there's pleasures forevermore. In His presence is everything you need. God has everything you need. In Him is everything you need. And everything comes from Him. Amen. So the closer you are to Him, the more you're going to know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Good decisions, bad decisions, wise decisions. Amen. So stay close to Him. Number two, stay in the Word. Now you are a Word church. Let me talk to you for a minute. Do you know how blessed you are? Miracle Life Center. That you have received the unadulterated Word of God from your pastors for many years. You have a lot to be grateful for. I preach in churches all over the world. I was just telling this the pastors this morning that I spoke in a denominational church. I won't say which one. And I asked them if I could do an altar call, and they said, sure, you can invite people to know Jesus. Well, I didn't stop there. I decided to go with the Holy Ghost too. So I gave a call for the Holy Ghost. It was about 500-600 seater church. The whole church came forward. The whole church. I thought, oh. I prayed. I said, forget that. I'm going to follow the Lord. And so I prayed, and they all got Spirit filled. All of them, the men, the women, everybody. And the reverend sat there and looked at me like this. So I suppose he'd spent many weeks trying to undo the damage I had done. Stay in the Word. Say amen. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, for the Word that God speaks, not the Word that Lindy speaks, for the Word that God speaks, hallelujah, is alive and full of power, making it active and operative, energizing. How many of you need some energy this morning? The Word is energizing. Say, I'm energized. And effective, hallelujah. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Penetrating into the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul and the immortal spirit. The Word of God is so sharp, it goes right down into your being where the spirit and the soul is. It goes right down there correcting, sifting, challenging, renewing. Amen? Do we need it? Ooh, we need it. And of the joints and the marrow, of the deepest parts of nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. The only one who knows what's in your heart is Jesus, is the Lord. And you know, when people have lived a wild life and they die, I never say, I don't know where they've gone. I always say, only God knows where they are. Only God. You don't know in that last second if they called on the name of the Lord, like the thief on the cross. And Jesus said, today you will be with me. Amen? You don't know. So rather be quiet and say, only the Lord knows where they are. But we still reach out and desire to see them come to know Jesus. Amen? The word will keep you now. The word will quicken you now. The word will correct you now. The word will sift and sort you out now. Amen. The word must be your anchor, your foundation, the light of your pathway, the lamp to your feet, your healing, your wisdom, and your peace. Say amen. And your salvation. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We heard Dr. Acuna say that. John 1:2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Stay in the word. Stay in the word. Stay in his presence. Stay in his word. The wonderful thing is when you're in the word, you're in his presence. Because Jesus and the word are one. Amen. He is the living word of God. Amen. Number three, stay on fire. Stay on fire. Stir yourself up. You know that scripture that says, why are you downcast, my soul? Now you can stay downcast. Oh, shame. Poor me. Look at me. Oh, shame. I can stay there for as long as I want to. But that's not where God wants me. Why are you cast down, oh, my soul? When you have a living God, and you have salvation, and you have healing, and you have provision, amen. What is wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with the word. The word is always alive, always working, always energizing and powerful. Stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, might after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends, the very ends of the earth. Romans 12:11 says, never lag in zeal. Put your elbow in the person next to you and say, never lag in zeal. If you do, I'm coming after you. Never lag in zeal. The word doesn't say, be uninterested if you want to. Be bored if you want to. That's your flesh, amen? The word says never lack in zeal. I'm going to be on fire till the day I go to be with Jesus. So you better just get used to it. Amen? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Romans 12:11, never lack in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The reason why I encourage you to be in Bible school, be in courses, serve in the church is because it keeps you on fire. It keeps you on fire. And let me just say something to you, church. Maybe some of you came here and you're just back visiting this morning. People are always going to offend you. Pastors will offend you. Parking lot attendants will offend you. Get over it. Get over it. Don't live in that. You're here because the Lord brought you here. And you're not leaving for any stupid reason. You stick here. Amen. Have some stickability. Have some guts. Stand up for your God. And love everybody that serves you. Whether you like them or you don't. And if you don't like them, buy them some chockies. Okay, I better not say that. You don't get on with every human being. But get over it. If God called you here, you better be here. You're not here because of anybody else, but because God brought you here. So grow up. Woo. Grow up. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gifts of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Isaiah 28:11-12 says, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to my people. This is the refreshing whereby you will cause the weary to rest, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, He will empower you, quicken you. He will strengthen you. He will give you whatever you need. He's your helper, your counselor, your standby. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad I have someone who stands by me. I'm not alone. I might look like to you, I'm alone. But man, there are angels. There are massive angels around us. And He is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. Never think that you're alone. Never think that you're forgotten. You are never forgotten by God. Ever, 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 ever. He loves you with a love that will never die. Amen. Stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Zeal and fire is to be stirred. Make up your mind. No matter what happens in your life, you will always be on fire. I've been through some hard things in my life. But boy, I run to Him. I don't run from Him. When things happen in my life that are bad for me, I don't run from Him. It's not His fault. He's the one who loves me. He's the one who's on my side. So I run to Him. Because in Him is fullness of joy. In Him is every answer that I need. In Him is everything I need to fulfill my calling and be who God has called me to be. In Him. Number four, stay in fellowship. Don't run away from church. God wants you in fellowship. There are things that fellowship will work on you. You know we all need work, eh? I mean, I wish I could sit with someone and say, tell me about Lindy. Tell me about Lindy. What do you see? What do you experience? What do you notice? Tell me the good things and tell me the things I need to know. But we're not honest with each other. You know, we have to start speaking the truth in love to one another, to help one another. The whole purpose is to help one another. When you grow, I celebrate. When you do well, I celebrate. Hallelujah. When you hurt, I hurt. We're one body. We're here to fine-tune one another. That's why you need to be in church. Amen. Because there's protection here. There's counsel here. There's wisdom here. There's healing here. Amen. There's peace here. Hallelujah. You get outside that door, there's chaos. The world is crazy. So be that person who refuses to be distracted from what God has told you to do and from where God has told you to be. Say amen. Hebrews 10 verse 35. Not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together as believers, as is the habit of some. No, say that's the habit of all of us. We're all going to come together. But admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another. And all the more, faithfully, as you see, the day approaching. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 says, how much time do I have? Guys, am I okay? I'm okay? Okay. Let me do one. I'll do one more. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, and God has set apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You are all in the body of Christ. When you come here into fellowship, you are coming together with the body. But God has set in the body those who will teach us. When you are out there, now I know the Holy Spirit is our teacher, but why would God say these people teach us if we didn't need them? We need them. So this church needs to hear from a teacher, needs to hear from an apostle, needs to hear from an evangelist. Say amen. And we are to receive because God says we need to be perfected. We are not perfect yet. Say amen. The only time you will be perfect is when you get to heaven. But right now we are still in process. We are still being preparing for that day. Amen. And while we are in process, we need to be perfected. And that comes from the teaching of the word. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is involved in that. So you need to be in fellowship. Say, I love you, Pastor Lindy. Say, you're the best, Pastor Lindy. I pastored for 24 years, the biggest church, one of the biggest churches in the world. So I know what I'm talking about. Because God had to work on me. I was the shyest person you've ever seen. So shy. Tell somebody the truth. Are you kidding me? I want everyone to love me. I just want to be loved. Some things you've got to do, you're not going to be loved for, but you're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. Say amen. Okay, we're not looking for the world's love. We're looking for the love that God has for us. Amen. Number five and the final one, stay in faith. Man, I've seen so many Christians wavering and faltering on this. Stay in faith. Always keep your faith working. How many of you have something you believe in God for right now? Put up your hand. You have something you believe in God for right now? Put up your hand. Let me see. Okay, there are many of you. I don't know. I'm not really believing for anything. Well, that's why you're not getting anything. Hallelujah. Well, we will be getting everything. Hallelujah. Stay in faith. It's almost like you switched faith off during COVID. It's almost like during COVID, everybody got stuck. Now we can't move. Oh, can't move this foot. I'm stuck. I've got to wear a mask. Get on, wear the mask and be a blessing. Hallelujah. As much as we, you know, I'm not saying anything. Otherwise, they won't let me come back. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we believe for anything, we should believe for souls to come into the kingdom of God. We need to pray for our families to be saved. And you need to activate your faith. Amen. Your now purpose is to stay in faith. No fear, no doubt, no unbelief. Faith says, I can. Doubt says, maybe. It takes faith to get saved. It takes faith to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's the same measure of faith. Yesterday I said to those that came down to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I said, how did you get saved? They said, well, I just said. So I said, well, you just say, but a different language. It's quite easy. Just make a noise and God will fill you. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I'll just tell you this quickly, then I'll close. I was in my bedroom. I'd had all these people pray for me. And some of them hit me on the head. Some of them danced around me. I thought they were mad. I thought, I don't want this Holy Ghost. He's weird. I don't want this. Is weird. He's not weird. People are weird. Sorry. He's not weird. But you know, the most amazing thing was, I lay in my bed. And I said, Lord, so many people have prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I'm just going to step out there on my own. So I stayed. Actually, Ray was in America. And he was on the Jim Baker show. At that time, he was Mr. South Africa with all the muscles. Like I told my mom told me, all muscles and no brain. You marry a bodybuilder. I said, no, he's got a big brain, let me tell you. But my mother, she didn't like muscles. Mothers, get over it, seriously. Anyway, so I was lying in my bed and he was over there. And I was lying in bed and I said, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd been a Christian for about 5 years, 4 years. Got saved when I was 19. Now I was about 22. I said, Lord, I want to be filled. And I said, Lord, I'm going to just make sounds. Step of faith. How easy? Step of faith. And I said, and you're going to fill me. And I just went, the next thing, I was speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And then I said, Lord, how do I know this is you? And I was worried. I thought, maybe it's gibberish. You know, you say, you talk gibberish, you know. Maybe it's gibberish, Lord. Is this really you? The next day, in the early morning, Ray phoned me and he said, listen, I did the Jim Baker show last night and a man came up to me and he said, your wife just got filled with the Holy Ghost. How did he know in America that I'd been filled? Because I'd never said anything to Ray. So the Lord confirmed, it's me. I told the man in America that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. How awesome is our God? What if you need confirmation, he'll confirm it. Hallelujah. He'll send a bird to come and whisper in your ear. But he will confirm. Don't be afraid. Trust him. Step out of the boat, people. Get out. Get back into faith. Get back into believing God. Come alive, Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe. Zambia. Well, Zimbabwe too. Come alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Your now purpose. You see, you never stop the word. You never stop being in his presence. You never stop living and walking by faith. You never stop being filled, praying in tongues. Every time you pray in tongues, you overcome. The moment you feel discouraged, oh my soul, why are you discouraged? Pray in tongues for 1 minute and you'll be out of it. 1 minute and you are out of it. So use it as a tool to edify yourself, to build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Stay on fire, people. Zambia needs to be saved. Zambia needs to come on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are the living epistles. They are reading your life. They are watching your life. Your family is watching your life, watching your attitude, watching your behavior. They want to see Jesus. And the moment they see Jesus, they will be in these doors like a bullet. My dad told everybody when I went to Bible school that I had gone to become a Mormon. I'm sure Brother Hagen would have loved that. My dad was very tender, a Catholic. And I would come home and preach to my dad and say, Dad, you need to get saved. I put him off. And the Lord told me never to, when I did preach him, the Lord told me to stop. Stop preaching to your dad. Just live the life before him. So a couple of weeks later, my dad said, so what happened to church today? And I said, oh, Dad, it was wonderful. Lots of things happened. We had somebody fall under the power, and they had Bell's palsy. When they got off the floor, they were completely healed. But it was good. But tell me some more. Eventually, my dad was so curious, because I wasn't telling him too much. I was just giving. Wisdom. Don't preach at your family. Don't say you're going to hell. That doesn't help anybody. Love them. Show them Jesus. Show them the love of Jesus. So I just gave him a little bit. The first time he came to church, he walked in the door, cried from the beginning to the end. Then when we bought the land in Ramburg, we were walking on the land. My mom and dad were behind us, and it was huge, I think 50 acres or something. My dad says to my mother, what the hell are these two doing? It's a worldly understanding. God can't understand. But the moment the church went up, massive church, my dad came in the door and he cried. He could not come to church without crying because the Holy Ghost was working and dealing with him. And my mother said to him, I'm not going to church with you anymore. All you do is cry. I know my dad's in heaven. I know he's in heaven. So I encourage you people today. You are a living testimony of Jesus. Your now purpose is to live the life that Jesus has called you to. And live it fully. Totally committed. Totally sold out. Not church once a week. That's not enough, people. Come on. How are you going to drive out a devil if you go to church once a week? Come on. Hallelujah. You need to get on fire. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord for the word this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, you are amazing. You are awesome. You are powerful. And today we celebrate your goodness. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. We will. We will see it. We will see it. We will see it. There's no doubt. We will see it.